incense in. The King of Glory is here. Can you feel him? Can you see him? The King of Glory is here. I can feel him. I can sense him. The King of Glory is here. I can feel it, I can see him, the King of Glory is here. Can you feel it, can you sense it, the King of Glory is here. Can you feel it, can you see it, the King of Glory is here.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. I hope you're having an amazing July. This is Bernice. I am talking today about what July is all about, okay, prophetically. I already talked about it on my YouTube channel on July 1st. So I'm a little delayed on basically sharing what July is all about on here. So if you was waiting for it, I am sorry. The Lord was literally like telling me, Bernice, I need you to go and record it, you know. So thank you for tuning in to Devoted with Bernice today. I hope you're doing amazing. So let's go into prayer. Father, we just thank you for your presence even now in this place. We exalt your name in this room. We reverence you, Adonai. We call you the champion of all champions. You are powerful in all your ways. You are marvelous. You are majestic. You are precious, God. You are a good Father. You are a caretaker. You are a provider. You are Jehovah Nissi, the banner. You cover us. Your hedge of protection is always on us and over us. Your presence is known. Even the word of God says that you laugh in the face of the enemy. You sit at your throne and you laugh at the plans of the enemy. And so, Father, we just pray right now for your presence here as we come before you with humility, with purpose, with perseverance, with perspective, that your word will come forth. Let your will be done, let your kingdom come. And even the people that are saying that they want to do something even in this month, I pray that they will surrender it to you and say, let your will be done. If it's the will of God, it will happen. I see that. And so, Father, I pray, let the plans of your people be in alignment with your plans. Let what it is that you want to do in the lives of your people, God, be what they desire, not what people desire, not what they desire, because your seasons and your times are precious before you. You have ways and times and places and things that you do in your own timing. Your timing is perfect than our timing. So God, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that your presence will just dwell here, that you will manifest yourself in this place. I yield myself to you, Lord, as your vessel, that all that you want to do will happen as you plan it according to your purpose. Let all of me be in alignment with all of you. I decree so that you, God, can increase. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So guys, we're going to go straight into it. Okay. I know I played a song. I hope you enjoyed the song. I want us to go right into it. So before we start, I want to talk about some prophetic words that God has been talking to me about. Remember in December, I talked about, I had a podcast episode about Christmas, right? About Christmas. And when I talked about Christmas, God led me to talk about chicken coop, right? I was sharing about how if you did not listen to the December Christmas story about Jesus, just go back and listen. God led me to prophetically talk about chicken and how chicken is prepared and how chicken is being taken care of in Ghana, in African countries, and how in Africa we literally grow our chickens, like we have chicken coops and all of that. And I didn't really understand why God led me to talk about that. But, you know, I just led with obedience. I just flowed with the Holy Spirit. I feel led to just bind something. God, in the name of Jesus, I bind any distraction in the atmosphere. I dismantle it. I pray, go rabatu rebe seka rabata bare isku ramata. Rekiri itu re isku rabatu rema dekade batu re istere baze. Rekira itikara ataya mare eto rebe karabate karabataya. Zerebakura ikara astayana me ere ikore itikariate. Rekire etur askarabazo rema de erebe kaya. Rais kutura ma bara ikaye bezo. Rais katalmeturi ite kataya atayana de ite debato. Rais koto rama bare katayana. Merebazora iskoto rakata ze rebase kata barabato Rebe kuramata bakarabasete zekaramate kurabata zekarabatu kure iskarabato reme dekati ere ikarabataya mekarabaturi iturama bara askataya rekiri yaturi ikia iste katu ora ikaramata zerebasora ikarabata merebe kurebatu remasoto rakata zerebakata barabato kurebe sete zekarabata mare iskarabato Reketura ikiera esterema bere etoremaze. Merebatur rebatika rebete. Ra iterebatur iskataya. Re karabata mare beko rebasoto. Ra kataba re iskarabaze. Mere iturema bekarabati kiria katarabazo. Ekatiria sor iskarabatayana. Bekarabata barabaturemaze. Rakete bakora eskarabato. Rama bakara etiada esterema. Merebazuria kataya. Are katore bazete basakataya raito re iskaramato rema bekata bezore besoto rekiada bati ada eskariata. I want you to pray with me. I don't know why I'm praying in tongues, but I feel like to just start to pray in tongues. Zekate de bekuramata rakatore batura masete zerebaku ara eskarabazo reme bakarabate rakaturi kataya. Something is breaking right now. I don't know who needs it. Ramasoto rabata base. Kata rakata bare beko rema soto rakato reba suku rekata mere ikalabate mase karabata zerebakuri etur ina makora matede bazo de karabato rebeka zekata mase karabata o rebekura etere ma bakara asto rema bekarabazo reketi masuri is karabazo me karabatiri karabate mazere aterama di ere iki ere etur e karabazo ramataya na mere bazoto rabasataya. Oh, thank you, Jesus, my God. Me se kata baso rebazoto. Oh, God, rekete karamazo rebasete bekura es karabaza de kira etiri itorema de iskoremazataya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into the room and just making yourself known. Mese kataya. Oh God, let your ko ara iskarabataya. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. I seal this prayer in the name of Jesus. I ask you to send your angels to do the work that they need to do, even now in this hour, in this minute, in this moment. Base kataba re basoto. Reketorema de karabatikire istorabaze. Rakatire eterema de iskorabazo ramataya. Reketuri ikarabate katadabataya. In the name of Jesus, Uramasete. Ah, Rekature Baze, Riekataya Estorema, Bara Askariataya. Thank you, God, Rebeseka Ramasoto Rebataya. Thank you, Father, Maseka Rabataya. Thank you, Ancient of Days, Adonai Basekariataya. Oh, yes, God, I thank you even now, Maseke Rebasura Bazete. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Oh God, that's why I felt, before I came on here, I just saw an angel of the Lord in the room. And I was like, okay, what is this all about? Oh, I feel so full right now. I feel so full. I just needed to release that prayer. I don't know what it was, but just felt a presence of just intercession just come upon me. And I hope that you were able to pray with me. All right. So I was talking about the chicken coop. When I was talking, I think when I said Jesus, you know, the birth of Jesus, I think that's when I just felt led to just start to pray in tongues. Okay. So the chicken coop, right? God was leading me to talk about how in Ghana we have chicken coops. You know, we have our own chicken in the backyard, right? So I shared it without really knowing why. And the thing is, you got to flow with the Holy Spirit when you're on here, when you're teaching and preaching His word, because it's not you that's doing it; it's Him, right? I don't go in my own might. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, right? So later on, I think this month or last month, we saw that in the media, there is now scientifically grown chicken. And the reason I didn't understand why God was telling me to talk about chicken coops in December of last year, but this is the reason why. It's because they're going to be more so chicken that's not of God. I literally think those chicken are not of God, literally. Because, growing chicken from the laboratory is not something that's healthy, right? So I think that the Lord was, directing us and warning us and literally preparing us for this moment of being people who actually have chickens in your home. You know, if you have a house, that's a great place to have chicken, right? In your backyard. So if you feel led, you know, go and get you some chickens, right? I was researching how long it takes a little chicken to grow into a big chicken. I think it was like 2 years or a year. You know, and some chickens, depending on what you feed them, they grow faster. But literally, it's important to go and seek the Lord in getting these chicken coops. I don't think that God led me to just randomly share about chicken coops in December just because. There's a purpose to everything that God does, right? And everything that He allows us prophets to share. So when I saw that, my mind immediately went to the chicken coop that I shared. I was like, oh, that's why. That's why you had me to share that. Sometimes you give a prophetic word and you don't know why until God knows that it's ready for you to know why, right? So another thing that God is talking to me about is that He wants me to share. So the other things that God wanted me to talk about is I remember this week I was taken into a night vision, you know, a dream, however you want to call it. And it was 4 days ago. The Lord said to me, tell them, God is raising up more of His Issachar prophets in this hour. I'm starting off with the prophetic word and then I'm going to go into July, okay? There is an hour that God is saying that there are those that will be the young ones, right? The young ones, the young prophets that have that, you know, anointing, the Issachar anointing. Then there are those that are younger, like children, who have that anointing to see the seasons and the times, okay? So it doesn't matter if they're 4 or 5, God is going to raise them up, okay? They should not be dismissed or looked upon as unworthy because of their age, right? The Bible says that do not silence the young ones because these are the ones that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven belongs to, right? Bring the children to Him, right? So when you are a parent, you hear your child come to you and say, Mommy, I saw this or I saw that. And sometimes it might seem silly to you. Just take note, like how Joseph's father took note of what Joseph was saying, okay? And of course, there are those who are going to be older, more mature prophets that are already, you know, maybe there might be a Jeremiah prophet, there might be an Isaiah prophet, or even maybe an Ezekiel prophet, but God is going to shift them into an Issachar prophet because he's seen their pure heart for the people and for the nations, okay, and the land. We can see that in Daniel 2:21, right? So these prophets, these new emerging Issachar prophets have been marked by God. They have gone through the process. You don't just become an Issachar prophet overnight. An Issachar prophet is somebody who God has cleansed and is continuously cleansing because these type of prophets speak to nations. These type of prophets speak to people, to places, to kings, okay? They speak about seasons and times. So God literally, of course, there are many people who are prophetic that can talk about times and seasons, but there are those that are selective. When they see something going to happen, it happens in the nations. So God has given these people the nations, okay? Like for me, when I emerge into the Issachar prophet, God literally started to talk to me about the nations. You know, and I was like, whoa, okay. I was seeing things and then I would see it happen. And I was like, wow. So there's a process, there's a sacrifice, there's a yielding and even a season of dying that you have to go through to be an Issachar prophet. And Issachar prophets are not just people that say, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen and that's that. No. Issachar prophets are able to see the wrong, the issues, the horrible things that are going to happen and seek God for direction. For example, the chicken coop is a prophetic word for from Issachar prophets. I might not have known exactly why God wanted me to share that. But that was a forewarning, a forewisdom for what it is that's happening now of the lab-grown chicken that's populating the marketplace, right? So these Issachar prophets are able to not only give you what God is going to, what the enemy is doing and what God is doing, but they can also give you insight and also wisdom to do what to do next. Like how Joseph told the king, let's gather grain for when the time comes when we don't have grain, right? There's a wisdom with their prophetic words, okay? It's not just this was going to happen and that's that. It's people who have an Issachar anointing want to stop the enemy, want to pray to stop what the enemy is going to do. For example, when COVID happened, before it happened, God showed it to me in dreams. I was like, why am I seeing this? Even in California, Canada, when that whole fire was happening, I kept seeing visions of fire. I was like, why am I seeing visions of fire? What is this? So I press into it. You know, when God starts to talk to you about things that are happening, the good and the bad, it's like our prophets pray. We intercede. We are the first watchwomen, forerunners to pray about what's going to come. Most Issachar prophets are never surprised about the things that happen. If we are ever surprised, it's because we were not at the feet of Jesus to listen, to hear what God is saying. Okay, so these are prophets that are marked, okay, God, that are emerging as new Issachar prophets. They're going to emerge in the church, in the marketplace, in science, and in families. Okay, their words will not fall to the ground like Samuel. Let's welcome these Issachar prophets to the tribe of Issachar and not be jealous, because this anointing, and I feel my hand on fire, this grace comes with battles that you have no idea about. Okay, it comes with dying to yourself. There are things you cannot watch. There are things you cannot do like everybody else, because you carry the nations in you. You carry the voice of God in you to speak about the nations, to speak about the times and seasons. So you have to be consecrated in a way that people are not. Just like we see in Daniel 2. Daniel, even in Daniel 1, Daniel is part of, he's like an Issachar prophet, because he literally was able to see the times and the seasons of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. So when you're an Issachar prophet, you, like how Daniel, you know, decided in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the food at the king's table, but he's going to eat vegetables, right? So you don't partake in certain tables. You partake in the Lord's table, okay? I want you to look at Genesis 41 as well. The wisdom, as God showed me this, I prayed, and as I was praying about, I was praying for these Issachar, new emerging Issachar prophets into the tribe of Issachar. God was telling me, he said, the wisdom that I want you to give to these new Issachars is that the wisdom of the Lord to them is they will be dependent on him. When you're an Issachar prophet, you have to be dependent on the Lord. It doesn't matter. You might have, you know, leaders in your life, but you have to be dependent on the Lord. Your leader doesn't know the times and seasons, unless they're also Issachar prophets, okay? God knows the times and seasons. So you go to God for that. You don't go to your leader for that, okay? You respect your leader and you serve and you do all that you're supposed to do for your leader. But you have to be dependent. When I say dependent, you depend on God. God is your first leader. God is your all in all. When you're an Issachar prophet, you are close to God, okay? And you move in the dance of humility and boldness and might, because you see a lot. And if you are somebody who see a lot, if you're not careful, you can step into pride because you see a lot. But because when you are in this season of Issachar prophet, you have to see, and not just see and say, but you have to see, pray, and ask God for meaning of what he's saying, okay? Because he alone changes the times and the seasons, right? He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Daniel 2:21. So who do you go to? To the Lord. You go to Jehovah, who has all the information that you need to be able to do all that you have to do. Okay, for his purpose. Everything that you release as an Issachar prophet, you ask God first. Do you want me to say this part for later or this part for now? Because God will give you a lot of things. And sometimes he will start to prompt you. Like, I want you to talk about this. I want you, like, for example, the Lord was telling me to pray for Florida, right? To pray about Florida. And for the past 2 days, I've not posted on social media, even on my prayer group, for us to pray about Florida. And the Lord kept reminding me, you've not done what I said. I need you to talk about praying for Florida. I don't know why we have to pray for Florida. What I see is hurricane, but there's more, right? And so I posted it. When I posted it, God is like, okay, good. So as an Issachar prophet, remember that you're not the only one that is interceding. You got to get more people on the watch with you. Just like Nehemiah, we see he gets more people on the watch with him, right? As he builds, right? So God, we thank you for this shift of Issachar prophet, this emerging of new ones. I just thank you, and I see that you're even now releasing your anointing upon them and your oil upon them, and you're even now releasing new angels to help them, to shift them into where you're taking them as Issachar prophets. And I just pray that humility will be their sacredness, and their hiding place will always be with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so the second one is 2 days ago, God gave me a dream. And this is a dream for everybody, okay? This is a dream where it's a prophetic caution and a medical prophecy, okay? So in a dream, I went to a supermarket. I was in front of a fridge in the supermarket, like how you see the food, right? You can see the glass, and then you can see the drinks there. So I was standing in front of the fridge, and then I saw these Dasani bottled water, Dasani. I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but it's a bottled water that is sold a lot in stores. And so when I saw it, I tried to pick one up from the fridge. And when I picked one up, I saw there was a chemical name written on the bottle in black. And it had this strong chemical smell. And the bottle was not even open. But I can still, I was able to smell it. So I put it back, right? I put it back and I closed the supermarket fridge to go and get a different water. So I prayed and I was like, God, what is this? So this is basically, I take really seriously these type of dreams. Just to be cautious, okay? This is a dream of caution, being cautious. A caution dream. Be cautious of what you drink, what you drink, what you buy from the market. I believe that the Dasani bottled water is not just water. I looked at it. There's like minerals. It says it's purified enhanced mineral water, right? So I don't know what kind of minerals it is, but God literally highlighted that to me in my dream realm. And so be cautious when you get these type of waters. Just be discerning. Some might have more chemicals than you think, right? Just be discerning. Ask the Holy Spirit, be led to help you discern well before you buy something. I remember years ago, I remember they had like something was wrong with either chicken or eggs or chicken, one of those things. I did not feel led to buy, you know, chicken or eggs at that time. There was a specific thing that was, oh yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. It was spinach. Spinach was being recalled. it was being recalled. And then I just, because I always buy spinach, but then at that time I did not feel like buying spinach, you know. And so I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna buy spinach. And then I saw in the news that spinach was on recall, so they told people not to get a specific spinach. So you have to be led when you go out there and you buy stuff, right? Even when you buy stuff and you bring it home, when you look at it and you don't feel right about it, throw it in the trash, okay? Throw it in the trash, because there are a lot of things that are not right out there. And then the second part is, this is a medical prophecy. What God was talking to me about during prayer was that there are medical strips. You know about the, you know, the fresh mint, the mint strips, the breath strips, right, that you just take out and you put in your mouth, and then it just dissolves in your mouth. So that type of medical strips that you use, you know, for your breath, what God was talking to me about is that the white huge tablets that we normally take, you know, what people take when they're sick. In the coming years, what we're going to see in the future in the medical field is that those are going to be recreated into how breath strips look like. Okay? How it look, you know, how the fresh breath strips look like. They're very thin, right? That's how they're going to make it into, okay? It's going to be something that is like, it looks like a breath strip, but you're going to be able to put it in your mouth and it's going to dissolve in seconds instead of swallowing those big fat white tablets, okay? Like, what do you call it? Like Tylenol or like aspirin and all of that, okay? But the caution is this, because it looks like breath strips, you know, it looks like candy, with that square looking, thin looking. It has to be cautious because kids may be victim to it and think that it's candy. So the containers will have to be hard to open by young people, by young children. Okay. The medical field will be enhancing their approach to medicine delivery to the body. There won't be any of those big pills to swallow. They're going to make it into those fresh mint looking breath strips, okay, that you can just pull out and just put it on top of your tongue, and then it just melts and dissolves like that. So those are the two prophetic words that I want to just talk to you all about. Now I'm going to shift into the nations. Okay, I'm going to shift into the nations. Okay, so July, I saw a vision of South Africa flag, okay? And as led by the Holy Spirit, I started to pray. And I was praying about governmental shift, economy, and family restoration in this specific region in South Africa. So keep those three things in prayer. And whatever else the Holy Spirit leads you to, just keep that in prayer as well. And I want you to pray against economy and plane issues in Europe, okay? Pray about that as well. And in China, God led me to pray about assassination. You know, when I prophesied about what 2023 is all about, I talked about how there's going to be a shift where you're going to see leaders literally start to make their children, those that are going to take their throne, right? The passing of the baton, right? We've seen it in the nations. We've seen it even in the church, where pastors are giving the baton to their children. We've seen it in the nations where leaders are giving the baton to their children, right? So in that same way, the enemy wants to do something in that area. So let's pray against assassination, okay? Assassination when it comes to China. God is sending his angels to war for the land, okay? There's a governmental limitation that God wants to remove from Asia as well. Okay, so let's pray about that. In Canada, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. I kept seeing waterfall. And what a voice, you know, sometimes it's the word of God, right? And the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I also saw water being poured into a cup, okay? Water being poured into a cup. So God is saying to Canada, drink from the word, drink from his outpouring. He's sending his outpouring into Canada. God is sending revival and his Holy Spirit into worship and prayer meetings in Canada. Okay, so be open to the flow of the Holy Spirit in the room. Great Britain, pride is being removed and humility is being placed on the land. God is just pouring. I see, like, he's just pouring gold. He's pouring gold into Great Britain. But this gold is a gold that is like you humble yourself to receive that gold. You humbled yourself to receive it. Okay, so humility is key here. Okay, India, God is uncovering the hidden secrets and demonic things. Okay, God want to bring evangelical teaching anointing that are going to be embraced by the land, so that teachers can teach and release God into the place. Release the atmosphere of heaven into the place, okay? So that's what God is talking to many of the people concerning these nations, all right? So God, we just pray into this. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come as you see fit in the name of Jesus alone. In the name of Jesus Christ alone, we do pray. Amen. All right. So let me see what else I need to talk about on here. Okay, yeah. All right, so as I was praying, I was led to pray for somebody. I had a dream about this specific apostle, and I just want to pray about it. How do I put this? So this apostle travels. It's a guy. He travels, and he goes to different nations to teach and to minister. But what God was showing me is that somebody was trying to plant a drug in his bag so that he is framed. Like a white powder in his bag when he goes to like different nations, like Spanish nation, Mexican nation, wherever he goes outside of the USA. And what God was saying is that if you are an apostle or a prophet, that you travel the nations. I don't know why God was leading me to pray for him concerning that. But I think it's not just for him, but it's for other people as well. When you go to these nations and you are really known to be somebody who's powerful, there are people there that don't want to see people be set free. Because they see that when you come and you cast demons of addiction out of people, or you cast certain demons out of people, you're really halting their business, right? It's like how when Paul turned around and rebuked the spirit in the girl with the divination demon. What did that bring? That brought the people who were using the slave girl, that stopped their business, right? And so that's what God is showing me, is that you are a Paul in that place when you go. And because you're stopping the business of those that are there, right, that are using these people to make money, the enemy is trying to plant something in your bag so that you don't come back to that place. So if you are somebody that's listening, that travels the nations, when you're leaving, before you leave, search your bag. Make sure you search it. Because yes, you go to these hotels, you go to these places to stay. But when you are not there, somebody can come in and plant something in your bag. So before you leave and go to the airport, make sure that you search your bag. That's wisdom from the Lord, okay? You search your bag and make sure that there's nothing planted in your bag. Because when you get to the airport, that's not a place to be defending yourself or be searching your bag. So that's something that God wanted me to talk to the person about, because what he showed me was in a dream where I was literally sitting in the car with this man of God, and he was driving, and we came into an intercession where he had to stop, but he didn't stop. He kept going. And we could have been hit by an incoming car, but thank God the car stopped already. The other car stopped. So God was, as I was praying about that specific dream, God was telling me he's not being cautious with certain things, with where he's going, because, you know, your car is ministry. Sometimes it can mean your life, it can mean ministry. So be cautious where you go to minister. And when you leave that place, be cautious. Yield to the stopping of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yield to the stopping of the Holy Spirit. Because when you yield to the stopping of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to miss an incoming car or an assignment of the enemy. And you will be safe, right? And so that's what God is saying, is that be cautious of where you go to minister. Yes, go minister, but be cautious of the people around you. Paul did not stop ministering just because the divination girl was there. No, or the people wanted to crucify him because he cast a demon out of the girl. He kept going. Okay, so keep going, but use wisdom. Use wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. So God, I just pray for wisdom for this specific apostle. I pray that you cover him with your angels, that you send wisdom, that he will be able to have this type of wisdom poured upon him. Holy Spirit, minister to him. Send an angel of the Lord to minister to him, even minister through his prophets to him. God, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So pray for Florida, please. Pray for Florida. We need to pray for Florida because Florida needs Jesus. Florida needs Jesus. Florida needs Jesus. Florida needs Jesus Christ. Florida needs Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, I want to play a song, and then we're going to go into what July is all about.
Jesus.
As I was being led to play a song, God was like, you forgot one thing. You forgot to share one thing I was talking to you about. All right. So this is one thing God was talking to me about. So I cut my hand. I cut my hand a little bit. And I cut off my toes. And I just used something to cover it. And so when I got to church, I asked them if they had, you know, bandage that I can just put on there. And this pastor helped me literally just like, you know, cover up the cut. And the Lord was ministering to me about this, that he's sending people who have been cut to the churches. He's sending people who have been wounded. This is the hour that he's sending wounded people to the church, people who have been cut spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He's sending, especially those who have been church hurt. He's sending those that have been cut by family, especially even those that don't really know him, but they have had some wounds happen. Some of the cuts have been them, they cut themselves. Some of them have been other people cutting them. However it is, I don't, you know, things don't just happen just because they happen. God illustrate things to me when he allows certain things for me to experience. So after I got my hand bandaged, help me, Holy Spirit. When I got the Band-Aid on my hand, God was telling me the church is the Band-Aid for people who have been cut. That the pastor that helped put the bandaid on my cut is the tool that God is going to use to put a bandaid on these people. So when they come in all the different ways that they look on the outside, don't judge them. All you got to do is put some ointment on the cut. What is the ointment? The blood of Jesus, right? Was the ornament the word of God? Was the ornament the love of God? Was the ornament the word of God? Your love for the person, your encouragement is the ornament. And what is the bandage? The bandage is the promises of God that they are going to be healed. That God draws closer to those that are brokenhearted, right? That's the bandage. God is showing me right now, I see like a physician that is like operating on a heart. Jehovah Rapha is in this hour to heal his people that have been wounded by the church, by the culture, by the world, by themselves. However it is that they cut themselves. You don't need to know how they got cut, because the pastor did not ask me, how did I cut myself? All he asked was, how big is the wound? My God, I love your revelation, God. He asked me before he opened my little, you know, tissue that I had on my hand. He said, how big is the wound? He said, how big is the wound? All you gotta, if you're a pastor, all you gotta worry about is how big is this person's wound that you have to put ornament on and cover it up with some bandage and let God do the healing. over time, because wounds are not, you know, instant healing, right? Especially if they're open wound, right? It takes some time for the skin to come back on there, right? It's a process. Some wounds, some healings are processed. They take some time, right? So how big is the wound is your question to the person. It's not where did you get the wound? Why did you get the wound? It don't matter, all of those things. All you got to worry about is how big is the wound. Let me see the wound. How big is it? Okay? So that's what God is saying to the leaders of the church. He's bringing people who have been wounded, addicted people, people in sexual immorality, people in adultery, people who have tried to commit suicide, people who have been church hurt. All you got to worry about, ask the Lord or ask the person, how big is the wound? So that he can help you heal the wound. Because the bigness of the wound would determine what type of bandage you need and what type of ointment you need. My God. The bigness of the wound determines what you need to put on the person. Do you need to disciple the person for a long time or a short time? Do you need to tell the person to read 5 Bible books of the Bible or just 1 book? Do you need to counsel the person with multiple people or just 1 person? How big is the wound? How big is your wound? That's the question of the hour to those that God is sending or God has sent to his churches. How big is your wound? So God, I just pray into this that you will, that the leaders will be in a position ready to receive those that have been wounded. That they will not look to themselves as the healer, but they will just yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit to ask the right questions, to say the right words, to give the right messages, to give the right information and resources to these people. That they will be able to be sympathetic, empathetic, Lord, and be available to help you, Lord, to help you see your people delivered and healed. To allow you, God, to be the Jehovah Rapha that you are, that these people need to see and encounter. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I don't think I forgot anything else. Did I, Lord? Holy Spirit, did I forget anything else? No, I don't think so. All right, if I did, he will remind me. All right, so July 2023, okay? July 2023. This is a month of creation. I always ask the Lord before, you know, the next month comes. I always ask him before it comes. And I was asking him mid-June. I was like, Lord, what is July? And he said, creation. Create. He said, create. And I'm like, okay, create what? What are you talking about? So then he led me to Genesis 1. In the beginning, right? Genesis 1. And then he led me to Colossians 3:23 to 24. And Colossians 3:23 to 24 is talking about how you're to do everything for the Lord and not for yourself, right? Not for man, not for yourself, but for the Lord. Do everything as unto God. He said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So do you think that when God created the heaven and earth in Genesis, that he was working at it with all his heart? I think so. I think he was really working at it with all his heart. I don't think he was halfway interested in it and then halfway like, I don't know if I want to do this. No, he was all in. That's why when it came time to rest, he took time to rest, right? He didn't just rest and be like, I'm just going to halfway do this. No, he put all the work in, and on the seventh day, he rested. Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. He spoke, and it was. He was just creating. He didn't stop. He didn't be like, "Oh, I created, you know, this one day, and I'm just gonna just create for one day, and then that's it. I'm just gonna go to bed." No, he worked diligently at it. He created every single day, from first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. He created. Okay, he didn't just stop. He kept going. He was faithful in his creation. He was faithful. He was faithful in creation, right? In the beginning, the first day, light was created. The second day, the sky was created. The third day, dry land, seas, plants, trees were created. The fourth day, the sun, moon, and stars were created. The fifth day, what happened? The fifth day, he created creatures that live in the sea and creatures that fly in the sky. The sixth day, animals that live on earth, on the land, and finally, human beings made in the image of God himself were created. By day seven, he was like, "It was very good," right? He said, "It is very good." We see here in Genesis 1:31, he said, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." He said it was very good. He saw his own thing, and he patted himself in the back. He said, "It was very good." God finished his work of creation, and he rested, making the seventh day a special holy day, which is the Sabbath. He worked diligently, and he created. So what God is saying in this season of July is create what he has placed inside of you. Some of you, I see planners. You're called to create planners for people to help them plan. Some of you, books. You're called to write books. I recently published a book, which is called Before the Wedding. Before the Wedding is for people who have, you know, who want to pray for their future husband, women who want to pray for their future husband. It's a devotional. It's a prayer devotional book. It has pictures. It has exercises. Literally lead you through prayer to help you. And I fasted. God took me on a fast to help me write this book. He kept telling me, "Bernice, I want you to write this book." And I finally pushed it out. Glory to God. So go on my website and go get it. My website is BerniceNetwork.BigCardo.com. Okay? So, create. Who are you creating for? The Lord. As unto the Lord with all your heart. Because his creation is in your heart. What he's placed inside of you to do is in your heart. Some of you are a songwriter. Some of you are movie create. You create movies. You are screenwriters. Some of you are business owners that you're supposed to create. Like, when I was praying for July on my YouTube, God was talking to me about how somebody is supposed to create the next MacBook Pro. Like, you're the next Apple company. Like, you have that Apple company inside of you. I don't know why I'm tasting jam, but I'm tasting jam right now. Somebody, you're supposed to make jam. You're the next jam company. Okay? The Apple company, you're the next Apple company. But maybe you might not be called Apple company. You might be called jam company. Or whatever you use to make jam. Grapes company, peach company, I don't know. Apple company. Apple company is already taken. Banana company, grape company, jam company, peach company, whatever you feel led to call yourself. But you are supposed to make the next Apple company. Okay? The next one. All right? And even some people, you're called to like open factories across the nations. Okay? So there's a creation in you. There's something. Okay, I see like makeup sets. Somebody, you're called to literally put together a makeup set for women to purchase. Okay, you have found a way to put every makeup item in a little bag that could be beneficial to women who travel a lot, that cannot bring every single makeup material. Okay, so you are probably also called to open a makeup business because you create faces. You know how to beat people's face and make it look nice. Do it. This is an hour of creation. And even if you don't know how to create, there is something in you. Go to God and ask God, what have you called me to create? What have you called me to create? This is the hour of speaking and seeing happen, of doing. Oh, basore basataya. This is the hour that God is saying, create. Create what he's placed inside of you. Yes, there is bread. When you go to the store, there's a lot of bread. People have a lot of bread on the shelves. There is banana bread. There is raisin bread, cinnamon bread, wheat bread, raisin bread. There is plain bread. There is slices of bread. There is hot dog bread, hamburger bread, all type of bread. You don't see them stopping making more bread. They keep making different type of bread. It doesn't matter if they have thousands of bread. Your bread is going to be different. Your bread is going to be flawless. Your bread has your DNA. Because guess what? When God created the heaven and earth, his DNA was in it. He made man in his own image. That's his DNA. It's unique. So your bread is unique. Whatever you're going to create is unique. So go forth and do it. Okay, go forth and do it. This is the hour of creation. Some of you might have to build in secret because you know that you have people around you. That don't want to see you be successful. You know there are people around you that want to steal your blueprint. You know there are people around you that want to know what God want you to do so that they copy it. So you gotta build in secret until those people leave you or leave your life or you leave them. Either way, sometimes it's good to build in secret so that the enemy cannot sabotage. Because when the time has come, God will reveal it and will tell you, it's okay, go ahead and reveal it. I saw this apostle, he literally created a game with Bible verses, like with Bible trivia game. Like it's a card game. That's creation. That's something that a lot of youth ministry and young adult ministries need for their, you know, get together to do Bible trivia and play the game together. Right, so whatever God has placed inside of you, go to him in prayer and in fasting and ask him, what is it? And he's going to help you create it. And make sure you rest when you create it, after you create it, because rest is important. So, Father, we thank you for this moment, Lord, and we thank you for this hour of creation. Creation that is going to be powerful, that's going to impact the world, the nations, and even the times and seasons to come. Thank you that, Lord, you are gracious to put this and entrust this idea and move in the person that is listening, that you will unlock it, Lord, that they will be able to step into this hour of creation and release what heaven has ordered them to release, to shift the world, to shift industries, to shift marketplace, to shift whatever it is that they need to shift for your glory and your glory alone. I pray that, Lord, anyone that is listening, that is trying to steal anybody's blueprint, I pray for conviction upon them. Whatever it is they're trying to copy from somebody when you've not given it to them, I just pray that they will be convicted and they will come to you and seek you for that blueprint that you want them to have, not what people already are walking in or what people have been told to do. But they will come to you, Lord. So I pray your hand over these people that are going to go out and do what you call them to do. And even those that are building in secret, I just pray that your hand will be upon them, that you will bless what they do, Lord. And in due time, you will be the one to bring it into the light and show it to the nations and show it to the people. So I pray for everyone that is creating at this hour, that you will bless what their hand create, what you call them to create. Connect them with the right people that will help them create what you call them to create. And let them create it with all their heart, Lord, for you, for your glory, as working unto the Lord and not unto man. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. 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 All right, go forth and create. Go forth and create what God is telling you to create. One last thing. The Lord wants to talk about the parable of the unmerciful servant. I want you to read your homework for today is Matthew 18, 21 to 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant is basically about somebody who got their debt forgiven, but they didn't want to forgive somebody who owed them as well. And basically that's how God sees when you don't forgive your neighbor or your fellow man their sins, is that it's hard for him to forgive you of your sins, because just as much as you want your sins to be forgiven, you should forgive other people for their sins as well, right? Because God is not somebody who's going to be like, oh, it's okay. No, because you reap what you sow, right? You reap what you sow. So it's important to sow well for others, because when you sow well for others, God will bless you. I want to share this. It says in Judges, in the book of Judges, Judges 1:5. 5-7, it talks about how there's a king, right, who basically cut off the thumb and the toes of his 70 kings that ate the scrapes from under his table. And guess what happened to him? The Israelites captured him and cut off his thumb and his toes. This is what he said. He said, now God has paid me back for what I did to them. So he reaped what he sowed. What he sowed was he cut off the thumb and the toes of people. And he got his thumb and his toes cut off. So this is also the hour where you're going to reap what you sow. Okay? This is the hour where vengeance belongs to me. That what you did to people, you're going to see it done to you. You plot to destroy someone. You plot to pervert someone. You plot to cause somebody to fall into temptation. You plot to cause somebody to miss their divine purpose and assignment. God sees all of that. I don't know who that is for. But God sees it all. What you do, what you think in secret concerning his people, he sees it. If you're trying to cause somebody to fall into sin purposefully, he sees it. And he doesn't take it lightly. He doesn't. So, Lord, we just thank you for this hour. I thank you for your visitation. And I pray for your continuous purpose in the lives of the people that are listening. Every nation that's listening today, I just pray you bless them continuously. Help them, lead them, cover them, protect them, shield them. And provide all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I do pray. Amen. So, as led by the Holy Spirit, pray for Amsterdam, Netherlands, okay? Pray for New York. Pray for Virginia as well. Like I said, pray for Florida. Also, pray for Hawaii and Ohio and Michigan and Mississippi. Just pray for these specific places that I talked about today. And Maryland, I see Maryland. Okay, pray for those. And pray for Texas, the great country of Texas. It's a whole country. Everything big is in Texas, right? As they say. So pray about that as well. All right, so I love you all. Thank you so much for listening today. Make sure that you share it with somebody that you think is going to benefit from it. Make sure that you step into the purpose of God for your life, because he has great plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of your days. And I want to add, I love seeing ministry couples together. A man and a wife, husband and wife doing ministry together. It is a beautiful thing. So if you're a single woman, continue to pray for God to send you a husband. It's okay to desire to have a husband who you can walk in ministry with. Okay, just because you got your heart broken doesn't mean that ministry and marriage cannot be something divine and beautiful. Okay, let God heal your heart. If you're a man, pray for your wife, your future wife, that God will send her. And you guys can walk in ministry together, because guess what? The garden was ministry, was the first start of ministry. And when God sees marriage, he sees the bride and Jesus, the church and Jesus, okay? He did not start off the garden with just, well, he started off the garden with just Adam. But he said what? It's not good for man to be alone. So he made Eve. He could have made another Adam and said, oh, this is your brother. He could have made another woman, like a woman, and said, oh, this is your sister. No, he made a wife for him. He made a wife for him. So all people that be like, oh, I don't need a man. All these women like, I don't need a man. All I need is Jesus. All I need is God. Listen, get your heart healed, okay? Because you do need you a man, okay? As a woman of God, you need a man, okay? And as a man of God, you need a woman, okay? If that wasn't the case, God would not have said they should be fruitful and multiply. And it's not just children, but, you know, it's what they work at. What they do together is fruitful and multiply as well. So don't be just saying, oh, all I need is just Jesus. Yes, we need Jesus. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. But if he didn't think that Adam needed a human being, he would have not made Eve. Because Adam was just with God. And it was just him and God. But God knew with all his wisdom, Adam needs a wife. So it's okay to pray for a husband as a woman in waiting to be married. Okay? It's okay. If you got your heart broken, if you got, you know, maybe you almost got married, or you got married and didn't work out, it doesn't matter. What the past is in the past. You can still desire to be married and walk in ministry together with your husband as a wife. or if you're a man, you know, if you're a man, go pray for God to send you a wife. If you are a woman, pray God send you a husband. Okay? It's beautiful to see a man and a woman together in ministry. It's so pretty. That's why the enemy is so overnight working hard to destroy marriages in ministry, because he knows the power that it holds. Right? One can take 1,000 to flight, but what? Two can take more to flight, right? When it's two of you, you can do damage to the kingdom of darkness. So yes, you have, you know, people in your life that you can do ministry with, and it's great. But really, I think God want to bless you with somebody that's going to be there forever, because marriage is forever, right? It's going to be by your side forever. Well, right? Forever, in Jesus' name. So Lord, I pray, everyone that's listening, that's desiring to get married to the right man of God, every woman that is desiring to get married to the right man of God, I pray you bless them with the right man of God. In the name of Jesus, that you send it to them, God. Send him to the women that are waiting to get married. And I pray the men that are waiting to meet their wives, I pray they will be in search and look for her, because it says a man who finds you, if you're not finding, if you're not looking, you can't find. So help them search so they can find their wives and get and get favor from you. And I feel my hand on fire, because God wanna bless many of you with a spouse. Okay, bless the women with husbands and bless the men with wives, because he want to bless you to be able to do work together in ministry and where he's called you to go. Maybe your ministry might be a marketplace, might be media, okay? But you need you a man as a woman, and you need you a woman as a man. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm done. Praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you were blessed. I will talk to you all next time when we come on. Of course, we're still doing our Joseph teaching and miracle teaching and story series. I'm taking it as God leads me. Okay, he's not giving me any more assignments, so I know these three series are the series that he wants me to focus on. So I had to take a break to literally write the book and finish it, and I did. So go get my book. Blessings to you all. I love you all so much. Thank you for tuning in. Jesus loves you. Have a lovely day. One thing I ask, this I will seek.
of this world I count it as loss. I laid it all down to take up this cross. 'Cause all I know is everything I have needs love. Jesus, if you know.